Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the April 12, 2012 meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission. All please rise for the flag, please.
Roll call.
Oh, do we do that first?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, we do. All right. Thank you for that guidance there. Please, Ramona, call the roll.
Commissioner Christensen?
Here.
Commissioner Irving?
Here.
Commissioner Murphy?
Here.
Commissioner Topping?
Here.
Chairman O'Grady?
Here. Actually, Commissioner Christensen, I was trying to expedite.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, I do my best to respond to Commissioner concerns. So, okay, first part of our meeting will be public comment for items that are not on the agenda. I have three speaker slips, but it does look like they are all on item number...
May 10th.
May 10th. So the 24th and the 31st are canceled, I guess. Is that...
And then I don't believe... The board took any action on anything in between your last meeting and this meeting. I was going to check really quick, but I don't think so.
I can't think of an appeal that went. No, so nothing to update you on that.
I do know that the Coastal Commission is looking, is going to be hearing the Marshall Lewis home in Cayucas. I think that's going before the Coastal Commission.
Yeah, the staff actually made a recommendation for no substantial issue on that one, and it's being heard this week as part of Coastal.
That's what I heard. So,
I did find something, though, I did forget to say, and that is that the board did adopt the Shandon Community Plan and the associated amendments, so I thought you would be interested in hearing that.
And I guess they didn't make too many changes.
No, actually, not very many at all.
Okay. Commissioners, have any questions for Ms. Griffin?
I said a comment. I'll be absent June 14th. I won't be able to attend that meeting.
Okay, June 14th. Okay. There's an item on today's consent agenda. It's the March 29, 2012 Planning Commission minutes. Does any commissioner or anyone from the public wish to pull those minutes for discussion? Hearing no one, then may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Ramona, please call the roll.
Commissioner Christensen?
Aye.
Commissioner Murphy?
Yes.
Commissioner Irving?
Yes.
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Chairman O'Grady?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Ramona, would you please introduce hearing item number one?
Hearing to consider a request by the County of San Luis Obispo to amend the Growth Management Ordinance, Title 26 of the County Code. Supervisorial District 2 at 4, Joe Manson, Project Manager.
Do any commissioners have any ex parte to report on this item one? Okay. Good morning, Ms. Manson.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Commission. Joe Manson, County Planning. The project before you today is a request by the county to amend the Growth Management Ordinance, Title 26 of the County Code. I would first like to provide you with a brief history of the Growth Management Ordinance. The ordinance was adopted by the board on October 23, 1990. It establishes a per fiscal year rate of growth set by the Board of Supervisors. The growth rate is consistent with the community resources established by the resource management system to support residential growth. Currently, the countywide growth rate is 2.3%. Napoma Mesa area is 1.8%. And the Cambria community, 0%. It establishes a system for allocating the number of residential construction permits allowed each fiscal year. The allocation system is managed by planning staff, myself. Allocation request is submitted concurrently with building permit submittal. There are exemptions and waiting lists associated with the growth management ordinance, and as example, exemptions, affordable housing, farm support quarters, and secondary dwellings on residentially zoned properties. And we have waiting lists in the communities such as Cambria and Los Osos. On August 12th of 2008, the Board of Supervisors adopted cleanup and housekeeping updates for the growth management ordinance and gave us the authority to continue to do any housekeeping updates that were required. During the amendment process last year, amendments were identified that are necessary prior to June the 30th of 2012. The first proposed amendment is to update the frequency of approval of the Resource Management System Resource Summary Report. On November 22nd of 2011, the Board of Supervisors amended the framework for planning for both the inland and coastal zone to require preparation of the Resource Management System Annual Summary Report every 2 years or as otherwise directed by the Board, instead of every year as was previously required. Therefore, this amendment updates Title 26 to be consistent with the Board amendment to the framework for planning. The second proposed amendment is to update the fiscal year reference for the Napoma Mesa area for fiscal year 2012-2013. And I might point out that this is a housekeeping update that we do every year for the upcoming month, being updated and revised to July 1, 2012 through June 30, 2015. Simply, this update allows for consistency with third proposed amendment that I mentioned a moment ago. I would like to note that the referrals on this project were sent to Napoma Community Services District, South County Advisory Council, Cambria Community Services District, and the North Coast Advisory Council. Napoma Community Services District concurs with the proposed amendment for the Napoma Mesa area. We received no comments from the South County Advisory Council. The Cambria Community Services District concurs with our proposed amendment text revisions for the Cambria portion. The North Coast Advisory Council, at their March 21st meeting, the Land Use Committee was recommending to the Council approval of the proposed amendments. However, the North Coast Advisory Council voted to not pass the proposed amendments. However, let me clarify the Council vote, and our liaison with the Advisory Council did clarify with Ms. Joyce Renshaw, Chairman of that Council. The Council supports the maintenance of the 0% growth rate and the extension of the fiscal year reference to July 1, 2012 through June 30, 2015. The Council only thought that the change of language was unnecessary with regard to the clarification, and I'll quote, prior to June 30, 2015, the maximum annual allocation may be reevaluated. Any change to the maximum annual allocation requires amendment to this title. They thought that that verbiage was unnecessary. That concludes my presentation, except to note that our recommendation for the Planning Commission is that you recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of Growth Management Ordinance Amendment LRP 2011-00008 as shown in Exhibit LRP 2011-00008A based on the recommended findings. That concludes my presentation.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Manson. Do commissioners have any questions at this time for Ms. Manson? If not, then I will open public comment. I have three speaker slips at this time. If there's anyone else who would like to speak who has not turned in a speaker slip, please do so at this time. Each speaker is entitled to 3 minutes. When you come to the podium, please identify yourself. The commission also asks that you state your where you live, but that's not requirement. That's purely at your option. The first speaker slip I have is Mahala Burton. And then if the second speaker would approach the other podium or at least come to the front, that would be Rick, I think it's Hawley.
Okay, Mahala Burton, and I live in Cambria. I'm here to object to only the sentence in the ordinance the one sentence that prior to June 30th, the maximum allocation will be reevaluated. The reason why I'm objecting to that is that sentence is already inferred in the ordinance, and it was the change to have it actually inserted was instigated by the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors and maybe their general manager. And that the reason is this is the first step in order for Cambria to circumvent the moratorium that's based on State Water Code 350. It's a very, very serious moratorium because we really have no, we don't have adequate water for residents in a drought, and we don't have adequate water for fire and for any building. But the Cambria Services District, and this is in public documents, they talk about it, want to, they actually have their attorney, this is their attorney's legal opinion, that the only way to lift the moratorium is with new water, and conservation is not new water. However, the CCSD board has decided that the conservation that the community has done is sufficient to start intent to serve letters again. They will then be coming to you, to the planning department, to change the RMS from level 3 to a level 2 allow intent to serve letters. This is a backdoor circumvention of a law. We have the law that 350 is based on this document. Very, very serious analysis of the two creeks that we have for our water. Those creeks, we are not priority users, residents. The priority users are the habitat and riparian users. At any time, the riparian users can increase their water use. We would then have to decrease ours. Steelhead trout come before residents. Steelhead trout may be uplisted in this county from threatened to endangered or what?
I'm just very curious to understand why this little sentence is inserted in an ordinance that otherwise works fine. And if there is a change in water situations in Cambria, then I think the ordinance certainly allows for that change to be implemented. So I think this is potentially a backdoor end run around the system, perhaps. Not sure. It just seems rather odd. And I would certainly support the NCAC on their opinions, and I concur with that. I hope you do, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hawley. Next speaker, Tina Dickerson. That's my last speaker slip.
Tina Dickerson, Cambria. I, too, am objecting to the sentence that has been inserted with the persuasion of the CCSD, from what I understand. I'm reading from the Urban Water Management Plan, CCSD's, Chapter 2, page 7. The timing of future growth is subject to the permitting and approval of future projects by other agencies, economic conditions, and other factors that may not be under the direct control of the CCSD. Therefore, any projections on population growth should be viewed with caution. For purposes of developing population estimates, it was assumed that adequate progress would be made on a supplemental source of water to allow the moratorium to be lifted in 4 years. Several variations on this assumption are also presented, including one scenario that assumes there would be enough pent-up demand to build new homes following the lifting of the moratorium. Several growth rates are also presented based on the past history of the county in allowing a 2.3% maximum county-wide growth rate. I'm skipping and going down. A further scenario was made that assumed an aggressive water conservation program could be built upon measures within the 2010 California Green Building Code, which could conceivably allow release of approximately 20 units per year prior to the development of a supplemental water source. Prior to the development, this latest scenario is highly speculative and would need to be acceptable to both county and coastal commission. Additional discussions are still needed at these levels to further assess the feasibility of such an approach. First of all, Cambria has, second of all, a 30% vacancy rate. What's happening is people, because of the economic recession, cannot afford, if they're keeping their homes, they're now renting them full-time. So people who were coming up maybe 3-4 weeks a year, and maybe it was a couple, are now renting them, two in my block, they're now renting them to people with several people, several occupants in each one of those homes. That's just two in my block. I have to wonder about all of Cambria because of the economic conditions, how many more homes are being rented out. And as far as conservation, the CCSD has done practically zero. And I gave them Long Beach's conservation policies and methods that they have put into practice. The CCSD has done practically nothing. It's what we citizens have done for the fear-mongering that we've been led to believe of no water. And now suddenly there's enough water to be able to lift the moratorium. This is a circumvention around the moratorium, and it should not be passed, and I urge you not to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickerson. Here's there is no more public comment, so I will close public comment and bring it back to the commission. It seems that the main question has to do with Cambria, so Commissioner Topping, would since that's your district, well, you and Commissioner Murphy can duke it out. Who goes first?
I have a question for staff. Relative to the language that's been mentioned by the people here today from Cambria, what kind of formal communications have there been by way of correspondence or other communications from the CCSD board that might provide a basis for the proposed language?
Thank you, Mr. Topping. Yes, initially, of course, the project referral to the Cambria Community Services District and the North Coast Advisory Council, which is standard procedure. But then there were additional meetings and conversation regarding proposed text revisions. And I'm actually going to defer to our Assistant Director, Cami Griffin, who was a part of those discussions.
Thank you. The request came from the CCSD to add language that recognized that before these dates that were listed, because we use three-year periods, every place else we use one-year periods, before this date happened, that if something changed.
Who would provide that request?
Actually, the CCSD could make that request. It could come through a number of ways, but we would assume that if something changed up there, that it would be the CCSD that would make the request to change the ordinance to allow for issuance of allocations.
Okay. I guess what I'm trying to say is we don't have any communication right now that's formal from the CCSD board, which is the governing body over there.
Actually, the board members did come and speak with staff about adding this language in. I don't know if they took an action as a full board, but there were board members along with the CCSD director that came and met with staff. But we don't have anything specific from the board saying, oh, yeah, sometime this next year we're going to be lifting our water emergency and requesting an amendment. They just wanted to make it clear in the ordinance that just because this three-year period was listed in the ordinance, it didn't somehow mean that during that three-year period the ordinance couldn't be changed. That's all.
So if there were a reevaluation, it would most likely come as a result of a communication from the CCSD board. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
And an action taken by the CCSD board. It wouldn't be the county.
Yeah, it would be. It would. You would need some evidence,
yes,
of a formal action.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank
Commissioner
you.
Murphy.
A couple questions. I was just wondering on why in the POMO you refer to it as an update of the fiscal year reference and in Cambria maintenance of the zero for the five-year period as opposed to maintaining the 1.8 for the POMO. Was there some reason there's a referred to differently between the two updates or changes?
No, the fiscal year changes for the POMO are more of a housekeeping update. Instead of being able to use verbiage such as just 1.8% more than the previous fiscal year, per county council consultation, they noted that we do need to change those fiscal year dates each year for Napomo Mesa. And so that's just more of a housekeeping update that we do each year for Napomo itself. Cambria is a little bit different because we were more of like a sunset situation where the current date that was in the growth management ordinance would have been, you know, expiring June 30th of 2012.
Okay, so when was the last review of the resource summary report by the Board of Supervisors done then? I think you said that and I may have missed it.
Right, I have that right here. It was April 26th of 2011.
And did they come up with these proposed changes that we're working on today?
For Napomo, it really wouldn't have been applicable because it was just a fiscal year update. It still maintained the RMS level that was in Cambria, which is why we were still noting 0% growth rate and another 3 years, because the water emergency had not been lifted, and that was reflected in the RMS report. So we were maintaining what was noted in the RMS report.
So did they discuss Cambria as far as the continuing?
It was a part of
5 years. Was
it was a part of their report that it nothing had changed. It was still status quo, severity level 3.
Okay, because my understanding, the way the ordinance works, they do the review of the resource management summary, then they come up with proposed amendments, and then an amendment's processed to the ordinance to make those changes.
Right.
So I didn't know if we're doing this in anticipation of them actually taking that action, or they've taken that action already.
They've
as
taken
opposed
that
to just the housekeeping done by staff.
Right. No, they've taken that action already in the growth management ordinance, which was the number one amendment that we were proposing, is that basically the current ordinance says that after the board's review of the annual resource summary report, then we look at growth rates, any amendments. But in this case, we are just relying on that 2011 board report that was approved, whereby there was still a water emergency noted in Cambria. Just the housekeeping updates for the fiscal years, that was even done in 2008. So it's just a housekeeping update in that regard that we do each year. There's no change in the growth rate.
Okay. I mean, as long as that's acceptable to council, because I'm not clear that whether this should be initiated by the Board of Supervisors or whether staff can just make these annual changes for its housekeeping purposes.
I'm Tim McNulty with the County Council's office. The what you have before you are recommended changes to Title 26 that the Board hasn't yet initiated or approved. So the staff is proposing these. I think as a matter of courtesy is bringing them to the Planning Commission because they're not amendments to the zoning ordinance.
So this is being
and then ultimately the board will receive this same package and decide whether or not to make these changes, and you will either today recommend it or not recommend it or take no action, whatever you want to do.
So this is done in anticipation of the board wanting to take
certainly without that language in there, sure, somebody could come in next year and request an amendment to the ordinance.
Mr. McNulty, do you have any comments on that?
I tend to agree that the statement that people have been talking about really doesn't matter that much either way. I think the growth management ordinance can pretty much be amended at the staff or a board member's initiation any time, and all this sentence does is to say that that's so.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Manson, I just had a question of sort of idle curiosity. And at the bottom of one your report 1-3, it refers to transferred meters and 8 grandfathered allocations for new residences. Is there any limit on transferring meters around? Or I mean, it caught my eye that you had a specific number for grandfathered allocations, and that there was no particular comment about transferred meters. And I'm wondering, I just would like a little explanation about that.
Sure, certainly. I'm pulling to that section right now. In the ordinance, and it was a number of years ago, it was noted that each fiscal year you could have building permits come in, be submitted for processing for up to 8 grandfathered water meters. And the way that it was divided was up to four could be from the Lemert Tract, within the community of Cambria. The other 4 could be community-wide in Cambria. But at the end of the fiscal year, say we had 5 Lemert and only 2 community-wide, we could transfer between the two pots. Just to let you know, we have not reached that limit in a number of years. In fact, the last two fiscal years, this fiscal year, i.e. to date, we have received no grandfathered water meters. For what we call active meters, where a resident of the community of Cambria would coordinate directly with CCSD, where they can, like, transfer an active water meter to another property, we've just had a few, very, very few of those come in, too. It has dramatically slowed down, obviously, based on the economic situation.
Thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome.
I have a few questions. Mr. McNulty, three members of the public have spoken today about their concerns about implications of adding this language. They talked about backdoor approvals of more water allocations. And I gathered from your response to Commissioner Irving's question that you don't share those concerns. Would you have anything to add specifically to their what they articulated?
Well, as I said, I I'm Tim McNulty. I think the sentence just states what is already true, that if the board elected to make an amendment to the growth management ordinance, it could pretty much do so whenever it was procedurally situated to do that, which would mean there would be some sort of environmental review. I don't know what that would involve. There would be a staff report. There would be a notice of public hearing. It wouldn't, I don't think, necessarily even have to come to the Planning Commission, because it's not the zoning ordinance.
Sure.
There really isn't an obligation that it do that. But I think all this sentence says is, hey, by the way, within the next 3 years, if the political climate's right and the facts allow us to do so, we might amend the growth management ordinance to bring it up from something above zero.
So. Okay, but the location of this sentence, it is in the paragraph that deals solely with Cambria Community Services District. But so that seems to me to lend some significance or specialness to that location. I could see if that sentence was in the preamble, that where it would apply generally and not just specifically to Cambria, that I could understand what you're saying a bit better. And also, I wanted to ask you about the last sentence in B. It says, for those intermittent years in which the RMS is not prepared, the board shall evaluate the proposed growth rates. But then this sentence says it may be evaluated. Doesn't that conflict somewhat, shall and may?
Can you direct me to where the may is, the may language?
Yeah, it's in on I. It's prior to June 30th, 2015, the maximum
intermittent years, the board can still look and see whether or not there's something that requires a change.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. It was just this addition down in I.
I don't think the two are connected at all. It's apples and oranges. So the first one is exactly as Mr. McNulty said up there in B. It's to acknowledge that we used to do this every year, and now we're not going to get that annual summary report every year. It's going to come every other year. And so in the in-between years, we're still going to look at the growth rate. It's still going to be an annual thing instead of it also happening every other year. And then the other item is to specifically the allocations related to Cambria sometime in that three-year period, that particular item could be amended separate from what goes on annually to the whole of Title 26 that we're going to look at it. So they're a little bit of apples and oranges.
It's really the statement in I is – it can happen either way, and so I view it as just sort of a kind of a political bone, if you will. I mean, it,
okay.
That's really all it's doing there is saying, by the way, we understand that there's some of you that might be worried about this three-year period of, you know, 0% growth. And if facts allow us to, we might reconsider that.
And I think the only reason that it isn't in the Napomo thing is the Napomo advisory council or anybody in Napomo didn't ask for it to be there because they know it's true anyway.
Commissioner Topping?
Napomo's been at 1.8 now for quite a long time. I think since about the mid-90s, if I remember right. It's been at the 1.8% growth rate. And the reason we have to change it every year is because of the way when we went from 3 to 1.8 in Napomo, unfortunately, we worded the language in such a way that requires us to come back every year and revisit that. I think it was because Napomo wanted to make sure that it jumped back up to 3 as soon as it could. So, yes.
Commissioner Topping?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that it's general knowledge within the community that that the CCSD board is talking, exploring the possibility of limited allocation. I understand. I occasionally turn. I don't attend those meetings. I turn on the Channel 21 on Friday nights sometimes. So that's how I keep current as a community member. I don't know that they've gotten anywhere near any kind of action that would go in that direction. So this is anticipatory language, apparently. That's how I understand it.
I really don't see it as. I mean, I can understand the reasons why people might look at it that way. It literally states just a fact of law that anybody can come in and reevaluate these things at any point. And so if you didn't have the sentence in there, what it says would still be true.
They could do it anyway.
Yeah. So okay. it doesn't say anything.
I mean, guess my question is, who's the they? And if I were looking at this from a perspective of concern over growth limitations being modified, I would read this as though the county could reevaluate, which they can.
Yep.
But it seems as though the instigator, if you will, the mover here would have to be the board of directors of the Cambria Community Services District. I mean, that's basically what would trigger such an evaluation.
That would make the most sense. I mean, true, a board member could say, hey, let's amend this and get it authorized for processing, and as Mr. McNulty stated, we would do an environmental review, public hearings, and they could change it. But if the CCSD isn't issuing will serve letters, it means nothing what our ordinance says anyway, since you don't move past go without a will serve. And vice versa, if the CCSD started to issue will serve letters, if our growth management ordinance doesn't allow for issuance of allocations, again, you don't pass go, you don't get any kind of permits issued. So it takes both things working together.
Commissioner Murphy.
Yeah, I think this kind of goes back to my point I was hitting on earlier. The board is required to do an annual review every year anyway. Because the base growth rate has no dates attached to it, they don't have to take any action in Napomo because there's a date attached to it. Each year they have to update it, and Cambria has a three-year carve-out, so they have to look at that. If there's no change, they won't change it every year. If they want to change it, they could change it every year during the review. So I don't think that it's locked in for 3 years by any means. They could look at it every year and have the ability to amend it whenever they'd like to. So this sentence could come or go as far as I'm concerned.
Commissioner Murphy.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to add that language. Anybody can ask for an amendment or a change at any time, so I don't think we need to identify any particular party that has that right or ability by adding in here. But I'd just soon take it out.
Okay. I would prefer to take it out as redundant.
I have no problem with the language as it is. I've been satisfied by counsel. The only thing that concerns me is that, from what Ms. Griffin was saying, that it didn't sound like it came from an actual action item of the board of directors. It just was some of them came down. I'm wondering if they truly reflect the CSD.
Well, that's my concern. I think They're an elected body.
Yeah,
they're,
that solves the problem.
Okay. They're self-governing, and if they have a desire, they should express it
okay.
as a body.
Well, then that your language, Commissioner Topping, I don't think we need
right.
personally. I just because as Ms. Griffin said, anybody can put it in. So I'd just say I'm good with taking it out if that's fine.
Okay, that's. I think that's three. You were for taking it out. Okay, so
taking
just for the record, Commissioner Christensen,
I'm
would you
taking it out?
Oh, taking okay. the entire.
Okay,
the entire
staff, please.
The entire sentence.
Yes,
for clarification.
Prior to June 30th, 2015, all the way to requires amendment to this title is stricken.
So that will be a recommendation from the Planning
right.
Commission to the
oh,
board.
Definitely.
And the board can do whatever it wants.
They can put
sure.
it back in.
As always.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to remind
sure.
us every single
Do we need
meeting.
To put that language in here?
Yeah, we could have a sentence that's just as obvious about what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And the Planning Commission has nothing to say about it.
Are there... returning to sobriety here, are there any other commissioner comments, questions, or concerns on this particular item before I ask for a motion from Commissioner Topping?
Well, I'm not sure that the motion is mine to make, particularly since it covers two different areas. However,
well, if you prefer
I
not
would,
to, that's okay. I just invited you to make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
All right. I would like.
Okay, we have several volunteers.
I would like to say that it's clear that there's a lot of background here that is not out in the for discussion today, and that is that there is some reevaluation going on within the community as far as. The future of water resources. This has happened before many times, and there is discussion going on about possible adjustments to the water emergency and to issuing water permits. I guess I could go along with taking the language out if it is clear that the community at any time through their board of directors is in a position to request reevaluation.
Sure.
Because I believe the buck stops with them as far as this issue goes, and it's up to them to actually come to a decision in a open public way. And that's my primary concern.
Well, I think the record here indicates from comment from staff that that is the case. So
okay.
I think I'm still calling for that motion. If
okay.
you prefer
well,
to make, not to make it.
I move that let's see. Let me make sure I've got my language right. That we recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of Growth Management Ordinance Amendment LRP 2011-00008 as shown in Exhibit LRP 2011-0008A, based on the recommended findings listed in this report, as amended, with the amendment that we strike the last sentence of underlined sentence of Section 3I. As proposed.
As Commissioner Christensen said, I believe it's the last two sentences, actually.
Yes.
Starting with the word prior and ending with the word title.
That's great.
Second.
Thank you. Ramona, please. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I think we should make the point that this is going to go to the board for a hearing, and they may discuss the growth management levels at that hearing and come up with something totally different. But this looks like, to me, they want to get the amendment initiated ahead of time, so that if they agree with what we do, they can go ahead without coming back to us to initiate the amendment process and then have to go back to a board a second time to approve it.
Okay.
So but that's their job, is to ultimately decide what they're going to do. So I think we're just kind of doing this as an expeditious.
And there is a deadline.
Making the changes now.
Right. Okay. Any further discussion? No. Ramona, please call the roll.
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Commissioner?
By the Planning Commission back in 2008. The first two time extensions were approved at the staff level. The third time extension has to come before the Planning Commission for approval. So the project is located on Broad Street. which is just across from the San Luis Obispo County Airport. The project is located in the industrial land use category. This is an aerial view of the site. This is a copy of the approved site plan that went before the commission in 2008. This is a photograph showing, it's kind of dark, at least up there, showing the site going south on Highway 227 Broad Street. And then this is another view of the site going north. And basically, staff is recommending approval of the third time extension based on the findings in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B, with one modification to Condition 1B on page 2-5 regarding the height limit. And staff is recommending that we go back to the original approval of 22 feet. And that's based on noticing requirements in order to change conditions for the third time extension. And that ends my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Fuse. I don't have any speaker slips on this item.
Agent's here.
Oh, okay. Please come forward. I'll open public comment for you to speak. And if you could fill out a speaker slip.
Okay.
When you're finished.
Terry Orton, Orton Engineering, and I'm representing the clients on this. And what is probably pretty obvious is about 3 years ago, some rather large mini storages came online. And so rather than try to compete against those at that time, they have held off, and it's probably a darn good thing they did. And so we're up to our last extension on this, and we're hoping that the economy will turn around adequately in order to go on with it. So if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to respond to those.
Commissioner Christensen.
No, that was going to be a question for staff.
Okay. any questions for the applicant on this one? Okay.
Just a quick one. Are you comfortable with the proposed staff?
Yes. Yes, we've discussed it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to speak at public comment? Seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it back to the commission. And Commissioner Christensen, would you like to?
Well, I was going to ask about the 26 feet, and now we're. But you know, you didn't say anything about the 22 feet in your staff report. I'm not missing a page or anything. You're just going back to the 22 feet today. It wasn't in here.
Right.
Okay. I thought I'm looking at this, going, what? Okay. That was all. My only question was the 26 feet. Since we're back at 22, I'm fine.
Okay, Commissioner Topping.
I just had a quick question. When I drove by there the other day, I noticed that there was a landscaping established along there at two points, maybe that industrial park that's nearby. And I was wondering whether this landscape plan is compatible with that landscape design, because I remember seeing something in here that this is a scenic highway on the city's plan, and I was just wondering about that. I couldn't tell, looking at this landscape conceptual plan, whether there was any detail that would be compatible.
Right. Well, we do have a conceptual landscape plan, and when and if a construction permit came in, we would get a formal landscape plan, and it would be similar to the one that was done for the industrial park that's just to the north.
Very nice.
Of the site. So, so there are some view corridors that we would want to protect and not have landscaping that's too high. So it would block the views of the hillsides as you're going north or south. So that's what we would be looking at.
Thank you.
Okay. I see no other commissioner speaker lights on. So Commissioner Christensen, would you like to make a motion on this item?
Sure. We don't really have a recommended motion, but I'll move that we approve the third time extension For this conditional use permit DRC 2004-002008, with the change in the condition number 1B back to 22 feet, because it does say 26 feet in our staff report in Exhibit B.
Second.
Okay, Ramona, is there a discussion further? Okay. Ramona, please call the roll.
Commissioner Christensen?
Aye.
Commissioner Irving?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Yes.
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Chairman O'Grady?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, Ms. Pierce. Okay. Ramona, would you please introduce hearing item number 3?
Hearing to consider a request by Eric and Angela Uston for a variance, county file number DRC 2011-00052, Supervisorial District 2, Carrie Brown, Project Manager.
Okay, thank you. Is there any Commissioner ex parte on this item? Hearing none, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Carrie Brown, County Planning Staff. The project is a variance to allow a well and septic system on a parcel that is less than an acre in size. The project is located just east of the city of Morro Bay in the Choro Creek Valley and is within the agricultural land use category. This is a site plan of the site. The site is developed with a single-family residence and does have a septic system. This is the aerial of the area. The site in the white box. The site is located in close proximity to the city of Morro Bay's Ashurst Wellfield. 11 parcels within the Choral Creek Valley have been served by the city of Morro Bay for water service. The new well is needed for this residence because the site is currently without water service. The residence and parcel were previously served by the city of Morro Bay for water service, but the city terminated water service about 1.5 years ago. In 2008, the California Department of Public Health inactivated all of the wells in the Ashurst well field because of degraded water quality. The water from these wells needs to be treated for nitrate and occasional bacterial contamination events. Because of the expense of major modifications to treat this water for the customers of Choro Valley, the city decided not to use these wells. Without the use of the Ashurst well field, the city does not have the infrastructure to serve this area. The city of Morro Bay passed a resolution stopping water service outside the city limits of Morro Bay. The well is required to meet state and county siting requirements, such as maintaining minimum required distances, including 100 feet from on-site and off-site septic systems, 100 feet from on-site and off-site designated septic system replacement areas, 10 feet from property lines, and 100 feet from concentrated sources of pollution. The main points of this variance request include: site is developed with a residence. Also, the applicant has explored other avenues to provide water service but has been unsuccessful because neighboring property owners would not participate in a lot line adjustment, shared well, or off-site well. This is a variance request. However, staff supports the variance because we can make the required findings. First finding, the variance authorized does not constitute a grant of special privileges. This site is unique in that it is already developed with a residence. Other properties in the area that are over an acre can apply for a well permit to drill a well to provide water service without a variance. This parcel is less than 1 acre, and without the approval of a variance, they will not have water service. Number 2, there are special circumstances applicable to the property. These circumstances consist of a residence legally established in 1957. City of Morro Bay recently passed a resolution stopping water service outside the city limits. Allowing the property owner to develop a well on site would provide the owner the same privileges enjoyed by other properties within the vicinity and in the same land use category. Number 3, the variance does not authorize a use that is not otherwise authorized in the land use category. A single-family residence is an allowed use within the agricultural land use category. And number four, the granting of such application does not adversely affect the health or safety of persons and is not materially detrimental to the public welfare and is not injurious to nearby property or improvements. Granting of this variance will not adversely affect the health or safety of persons and is not materially detrimental to the public welfare. Because the water well permit will be evaluated by the County Department of Environmental Health, and if necessary, the Department of Environmental Health will require treatment to meet applicable regulations and ensure that the water is safe to drink. And in conclusion, staff is recommending approval of the variance based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and conditions in Exhibit B. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. I'd like to open public comment. We're beginning with the applicant. Would the applicant like, well, first, the commissioners have any questions right now or want to defer those till after public comment? Okay. All right. Good morning.
My name is Eric Houston, 465 Choro Creek Road, Morro Bay. I want to stress how extremely important this decision is to my family and myself. I'd also like to thank a lot of the county staff that's here today that's supported and guided me through this long process, Matt Jensen, Leslie Terry, Carrie Brown. Everybody here has been 100% helpful and supportive of this outcome, and also my county supervisor Bruce Gibson has been supportive as well. All the surrounding homes around my property already have existing water wells. My property meets all the county requirements except for this 1 acre requirement. And so that's really the big issue today to decide on. I hope you find us straightforward and follow the recommendations of staff. Thank you.
One moment, please, if you could remain at the podium. Does anyone have a question of the applicant at this time? Well, since you're up here, I do. In the packet, there was a letter from the city that said the city had notified you of the situation before you closed on the property. And I was just wondering why you went ahead and closed on your property, given that you had been warned or notified about the situation.
Before we closed escrow, I did have communications with the Building and Planning Department and the County Health Department that they would most likely support and saw no reason why a variance shouldn't be allowed on this property. I also had a letter from my realtor stating that the City of Morro Bay would support alternative water sources, and there was a number of alternative water sources that the city could have provided to the area in general that's being cut off. There was a local storage tank proposal. There's over 5 acre lands in two parcels that are owned by the city. So there was a number of alternate solutions that I thought would be possible if the city was able to pursue their goal of supporting removal of us from the water to a well situation. That didn't prove out to be true, but I didn't know that until actually fairly recently. We tried a number of these options, and nothing worked out.
Commissioner Topping, do you also have a question at this time for the applicant?
Not of the applicant.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Houston.
Thank you.
Okay, next speaker and final speaker slip is Rob Schultz. If anyone else would like to speak, please turn in a speaker slip.
Good morning, Chair, Commissioners. My name is Rob Schultz. I'm the city attorney for the City of Morro Bay. Our utilities director was supposed to be here in my place, but he's down at the Coastal Commission meeting, so I got to take his place. I am familiar with the situation with the applicant. The city supports the request for the variance. Unfortunately, the city's in a situation where it granted approximately 9 homeowners in this area water back in the 50s and 60s, and because of groundwater rule regulations and the nitrate contamination from the farmers, we've been put under a health restriction by the health department to not use those wells until we come up with a solution. We've got a few solutions out there, but they're in the millions of dollars to remedy that situation with treatment plans. So for the time being, we're not using those wells, and council has instructed us to not allow any more water in that area. And technically, you know, it's not within our sphere of influence. If you could turn back the clock, we shouldn't have granted any water in that area at all. This is the only lot, though, of the 9 that we're trying to find solutions on, and a lot of them have wells out there. This is the only one that is under the acre, so there are no other property out there that would require a variance if we're capable of removing them from our system. So with that, I would ask that you support the applicant.
Okay, while you're at the podium, I'd ask if any commissioners have any questions. Okay, I do. Do you feel like if this commission does not support this application that there would then be legal exposure for the city of Morro Bay because of the history of previously granting water to these homes, and then this one kind of falls out?
Within it, it's a mixed bag out there. There are some that have specific contracts with us to provide water. There's other ones that were done by resolution that allows us to cancel those resolutions so they don't have a vested right as much. And then with Mr. Usted, of course, his property went into foreclosure, and we were able to cancel any type of water agreement. So all of them have different realms of legal exposure, and certainly I think all of them, if at any time we were to terminate water at any of the ones that currently exist, I'm assuming that they have a property right that they're going to try to defend. And that's why we haven't terminated any service from anyone that is previously existing because of that. We've been told by council to work with them. We've sat down with them. We've reached one agreement with one property owner. We're very close for another one. And like I said, this is the only one that is under the acre. All the rest of them are over an acre and therefore wouldn't require a variance.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. I have no more speaker slips, so I will close public comment, bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Toppe.
Yeah, I'm in support of this variance, but I would like clarification on a couple of things from staff. One, I notice on the proposed site plan, the tank is in the what would appear to be the setback area. Is that consistent with county practice? Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, we can't allow
just need to
comment other than
it says per CAL FIRE requirements, and I'm just curious: is that where CAL FIRE says they want it? I mean, is that a variance action item as well?
If the tank is lower than 12 feet in height, then it can be up to 3 feet from the property line.
Okay. And I would take it that that's more than 3 feet. Oh, I see. It's lower than 12 feet.
Right.
All right. And then I noticed that it says base flood elevation 30.2 feet. That suggests that the whole area is in a floodplain.
Yes.
Okay. And because I couldn't help but noticing that it is a very low-lying area when you drive out there. And so I guess there's a long-term interest that the county may have in how to deal with this area aside from Mr. Houston's request. I just want to get that on the record because I think it's a matter of public safety that this area has started to develop apparently with the support of the city of Morro Bay, years ago in a floodplain. And so that's just an aside for now. I have no dispute with the variance findings.
Okay, I don't see any. Oh,
sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes, Commissioner Irving.
Ms. Brown, it would be a little better, I think, on your aerial photos that you brought up. The aerial photo that would be on staff 3-20, if you could bring that up. It's really kind of a question more to do with what's the impact of the construction of this well on a surrounding property. Does it render the surrounding property from being undevelopable, because it looks like it's a separate parcel? So, I thought you had another slide that was a little bigger. Yeah, there you go. So the well's right in the corner of the subject parcel, and then across this road, is that a separate legal parcel that now it would be somehow impacted and from restricted development? Because you've got a creek behind it. And
are you referring to this parcel?
Yes, the parcel where your cursor is.
That's owned by the City of Morro Bay and is part of their well field.
Thank you. That's a real simple answer. Thank you. I was curious about that. Then I do have a question on the well monitoring requirements referenced on 3-6 on item under miscellaneous item 6, it says, well, water well monitoring requirements will be required. Can you detail both what those requirements are, what kind of monitoring is going to be required, how frequently, and what's the cost of those?
Okay. I think on this question, I might defer either to the Department of Environmental Health or our Department of Public Works, who actually handles the monitoring of the wells.
Don't all jump up.
Yeah, it was you.
Tim Tomlinson, Public Works. I kind of administer the coastal well monitoring program for Public Works. I can't get into the specifics of the monitoring requirements. They're very technical, and we have a draft proposal for a different project under that the city's doing for the neighbor Roanoke of God. They're going to be drilling a well there, probably. Once that agreement is signed with the limits of the monitoring program, what they're monitoring for and the extent, all the technical stuff, that's going to be used as a model for any other wells in this area. It's pretty extensive. They're looking, as the report stated, for nitrates and bacteriological stuff. The water here is not good at the levels they're pumping from today, which is the whole basis for the Morro Bay's problem, I think. But so specifically, I can't.
Well, I guess then that does kind of raise an additional question. So we're placing requirements on this property owner that he has no idea what those requirements will be. And I'm wondering, is it as simple as, are you going to just want the simple standard county potability test, or is the county going to want a complete bacteriological study, which can cost some $500? And how frequently are you going to require that? It seems like we're tacking something onto this that is unknown at this time and could result in considerable expense on an annual basis.
You are correct. It could. We don't know specifically. We don't know the costs. The major cost is actually going to the study that's being done for the agreement for the pilot well for Roanoke and God in the Morro Bay City. That the data from that can probably be used for Mr. Houston's well permit also. That decision will be made after that's finalized. So that is a maybe. It will require annual testing. That is the program. And I do not know what that costs.
Okay.
And it will be extensive testing. It's not the simple potability test.
So does the neighbor Roanoke have to agree to allow their results be used to satisfy Mr. Ustin's requirements, or is that a county decision?
In the discussion we had with the city last week, we believe that becomes public information once it's approved, okay. And so no.
Okay, thank you. That answers.
Mr. Tomlinson, while you're there, perhaps you're the one to answer my question, and I'll get to Commissioner Topping in a minute. In order to grant this variance, the commission has to find that this granting of the variance will not adversely affect the health of persons. And yet here we have the city of Morro Bay saying, hey, we can't provide water that meets the health standards that are applicable. How is it that putting that burden on an individual, if the city, you know, the big city, can't meet that requirement, how is it that individual property owners can?
That was going to be my question.
Okay, can I turn your light off?
I think my answer is it's not that the city of Morro Bay can't do that. And maybe
Mr.
Bay
Schultz,
can't
do that better. Mr. Schultz, would you please
yes.
approach the podium and help us here?
Good morning again. I'll address the previous question because I think that is a very important question about testing. We currently are negotiating with Roanoke and the county to do extensive studies and testing each and every year, and we'll be paying for those testing. And I'm sure Mr. Usted, as long as the homeowner gives us access to his well, will be doing those. One of the conditions is, in fact, on the Roanoke, and we'll extend that to Mr. Usted, is a hydraulic engineer has to be on site during the well drilling, which normally isn't required, to make certain it meets all specifications and drilling is done correctly, and we're willing to do that for Mr. Usted or any of the other property owners who are out there and do all that testing. We're doing that because we want to do that, because one of our goals obviously is to get our wells able to be working out there also. So for that, we're willing to enter into that same agreement with Mr. Usted and Roanoke and any of the other property owners out there regarding the testing requirements that the county health or any other health department puts on them. In regards to your next question, is we do have solutions to the water issue. And remember, with the groundwater rules, we are much more at a higher standard than, say, a homeowner has for his individual well, because it's the public safety. We can do a full treatment center in the millions of dollars, whereas a homeowner can, for that less than $3,000, do a simple RO system on his wellhead. We can't do that simple $3,000 fix on our wellhead because of the amount of water that's pumped. We need the full treatment center. So there are ways for Mr. Usted to meet all requirements, have his own RO system, have Culligan come out to him, and is capable of doing that.
Okay,
we're willing to work with the homeowners also on that issue.
Okay, then that explains why I was puzzled about your decision not to continue, and in your letter saying we don't have the ability to meet the standards, and yet, so there are different standards.
We can. The cost is somewhere in the middle of about $2 million for 11
yeah.
property owners. And we can't, one of the things that I didn't realize is, why can't we just put the RO system in the individual homeowners? We can't go in and do that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schultz and Mr. Tomlinson. Commissioner Topping, did you have
No, that answers my question. I think the reverse osmosis treatment on site is the answer to the health issue.
Well, at the other point, we're authorizing a well, but they still got to get potable drinking water and have environmental health sign off on allowing people to drink it. And that protects the safety of the people using that well.
Ms. Brown, you mentioned that seawater intrusion is an issue in this community. In your staff report, I believe, seawater intrusion, it's been identified. So I guess you're suggesting or finding that it's not going to be detrimental to the public welfare, is that it's only one well. And I think we heard that there, maybe from Mr. Schultz, that there were not additional properties could then apply to put wells on their properties that were less than an acre. Am I understanding your intent correctly?
Well, we actually think that there are four parcels that are less than an acre.
Four?
Yes, including this one.
So there's going to be three more that are out of water?
Well, some of them have wells on site already.
Okay. So I guess the thrust of my question is how many are we opening the door to here?
Potentially four, because the wells on at least one of the parcels we know of is an ag well, and so to convert it to domestic use, they would need to come in for a permit for a domestic well.
So would it be your opinion that as far as the seawater intrusion issue, that these four wells would not change your recommended finding?
No, because we don't believe that this will increase the extraction of water within the area.
Okay, you're just shuffling it from one well to the other,
right.
Basically.
Correct.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, that's all of my questions. Commissioner Topic.
Yeah, one last question. How is this area treated by the growth management ordinance? Which area does this come under? And I'm thinking now about the long term, just briefly, before I make a motion to recommend approval. I'd like to know what we are actually doing here in terms of future growth. Anything?
It's within the countywide 2.3%
okay.
growth.
All right.
I don't believe there are many vacant parcels that aren't owned by the city of Morro Bay.
Okay. So it's likely that this would, given the circumstances of the neighborhood, which are rather complex.
We don't anticipate a lot of growth in this area.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, we don't. Based on the parcel configurations and the zoning that they're within.
All right. I'd like to just suggest that, flood hazard and local coastal plan combining designation, that's an important feature of this report, and I would like to make it so noted in the record if our commission secretary would make that point. And with that, I would like to recommend approval of variance DRC 2011-00052, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Christensen. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mona, please call the roll.
Commissioner Topping?
Yes.
Commissioner Christensen?
Yes.
Commissioner Irving?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Yes.
Chairman O'Grady?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Congratulations, Mr. Houston. Okay. If commissioners have nothing else to discuss at this point, then I would appreciate a motion to take all testimony and documents into the record.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion passes 5-0. And then finally, a motion to adjourn this meeting until the next regular meeting. I believe it's May 10th.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day. Meeting is adjourned.